Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we discuss a lot of postponements, as well as the introduction of an official esports series with real-world drivers. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fogel. Hello everyone to episode 184 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. Last week we previewed the Australian GP, not knowing that only a few days later we would have a completely different picture. I am sure many of our listeners will have heard the news. There will be no Formula One race before June due to the coronavirus, and well, the right decision, Fogel. I guess there's only one answer, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it was really the only decision that could have been taken. Of course, from a fan's perspective, from Formula One, it's disappointing. You know, we want to see some racing, but at the end of the day, there are more important things out there, such as the well-being and the safety of everyone. So, yeah, big shame, but I mean, the situation is changing very, very rapidly. So, it's a shame that it had to come to this, but it's the way it is, and it's in the interest of the public and the well-being of the public that it had to come to this. So, that's all I think that could have been done, really. There was really only one answer for it.
Before we come to all the races that has been postponed, let's start with the Australian GP. We would like to review the race and talk about some great racing, but now we have to talk about, well, the communication of the whole story that has been going on throughout the weekend. I mean, I was I sat in front of my smartphone on Thursday evening refreshing to see whether there are any news, because, well, from some channels and from some journalists you heard stories like, oh, the Grand Prix will be cancelled, and you heard that McLaren pulled out, but there was no official line. But from everything I read, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to set my alarm clock for midnight. This will not go ahead, and that's actually what happened. But the official line came very late, and I guess this had to do something with, well, probably lawyers involved, because a lot of money is involved when you have to cancel a GP, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't know the exact ins and outs of what went down behind the scenes, but I think it became very clear that, well, to me it became pretty clear that once McLaren pulled out, once they confirmed that someone in the paddock had the virus, at that point it was a no-brainer for me. I knew that it would be, I just knew that it was going to be called off the whole race. There was no real way that they could have pressed forward with it, with that lingering over the weekend. So I think the announcement that it was officially off came like 4 hours before FP1 was supposed to start or something like that. So quite late, but it came in the end. And thankfully the following announcements came very, very soon after, and lots of notice in advance about the further cancellations. But that was definitely a very strange day for me, waiting for the official confirmation, but it didn't really come as much of a surprise. But I mean, I guess I know what you're saying about the, some were reporting that it was going on, others reporting that it wasn't. Reliable sources saying that it was going ahead, so you were getting the impression that it was, and maybe at that point it was, and it changed quickly after that. So I think they held a vote whether they should go ahead, and it was split like 5-5 or something between the teams. So whatever changed anyway, I think it was the right decision, because I think it would have looked very, very poor for the sport if the whole weekend had gone ahead, which a confirmed case of the virus within the paddock.
Yeah, definitely. And not only did the virus affect the Australian GP, well, let's look through the calendar. So Australia cancelled. Bahrain, we talked about that race as well, and there was the plan to hold the race but without any spectators. Well, not anymore. The Bahrain GP cancelled as well. Vietnam, the first race in that country, cancelled or postponed.
Yeah,
postponed.
I was going to put in, let's we put should use way. The words postponed and cancelled pretty pretty.
Okay, let's say postponed. We do not know how they actually can fit that in later in the season. But we talked about the Chinese GP. We know that this, or they postponed that pretty early on. Dutch GP also will not go ahead in May, neither will Spain. And Monaco. And Monaco, I think, is an interesting story, as this race will not be postponed. I think Monaco is fully cancelled for the year, right?
Yeah, it is. So that's the... well, right now it's really the only confirmed case that we have that a race will not go ahead in 2020. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be more races that definitely won't go ahead. And you know, while I'm on that, I think we really need to open up to the thought and the idea that there may not be a world championship at all in 2020.
You think
yeah,
so?
It's a very real possibility. Of course, it's a very real possibility that no races could go ahead. I mean, I'd love for someone to accurately tell me how the situation is going to look in 4 or 5 months' time. You know, nobody can. So, of course, it's a very real possibility that we may not have a championship at all this year. But you know, we got to take it for how we see it right now, and that is that they are targeting races for the second half of the year, let's say. But yeah, Monaco is 100% not happening this year. They've announced, so a shame. I mean, I know
first time since
1954. So wow. It's been pretty. I think after it's the third most. It's the race that's had the third most Grand Prix in F1 history after Great Britain and Italy. And I wouldn't play some. I wouldn't be buying any tickets to the Italian Grand Prix right now either.
Yeah, me neither.
So,
even though it's in September, yeah. But still.
Yeah. So yeah, shame. I'm quite sad about Monaco not going ahead. I mean, I know the race has its critics for the difficulty of overtaking, but you know, that's just part of Monaco. I still love the Monaco Grand Prix weekend, and it deserves a spot on the calendar as much as you know, all the other legendary racetracks. So yeah, sad to see that it's not going ahead this year, and hopefully next year we'll have it back once again, and be back to normality when this all is behind us.
Yes, yeah, so the first race that's currently not postponed is the Azerbaijan GP in Baku on the first, I think it's the first weekend in June. I mean, yeah, we'll have to wait and see how the situation develops until June. Nobody knows. But yeah, currently it is planned to have the first race of the season there. And I think until then, there is the official factory shutdown that's usually planned for the summer break is in place before that. Or maybe you can, you know, the exact dates on when it will be, but as far as I understand, they want to move that ahead and then have races in the summer break. And who knows, I think there was even talks of having a completely different schedule, maybe like having even races midweek. I don't know. Are there any stories going around?
Yeah, well, it's a very difficult logistic nightmare, basically, this for the organizers, because all the races want to go ahead. F1 wants all the races to go ahead. At the end of the day, it's a business. But when you're going to try and fit an entire F1 calendar into, well, as it stands right now, half a year, it's going to be very difficult. And I think it's a great opportunity if we can get some races this year. And if we do, there'll be some pretty heavy weekends of back-to-back and triple weekend. But I think it would be a great way to mix up or a great excuse to mix up the weekend format, and maybe even extend it to a 2-day weekend, which would which would take maybe, you know, turn up on a start the first two practice sessions on a Saturday, and then or at least two practice sessions on a Saturday, and then qualifying in the evening, and then race on the Sunday or something, because you don't want a car to crash. If you have qualifying on a Sunday, let's say, before the race, and a car crashes and then they can't race, you know, that would be a shame. So it would be a great way to experiment basically with new race formats. And if there's ever if there's ever a season to do it, I mean, this would be it, because it's so far it's been such a crazy situation. Why not add a little bit more crazy in there if they get the opportunity, and, you know, just see how it works, see what happens, and if it's not good, and it doesn't work, then, you know, at least that they can say they tried it. And it's kind of like the thing with, I always bring it up, but Australia and Bahrain 2016 qualifying, you know, the concept of the new qualifying, it was changed up, they tried it out, they saw it didn't work, and, you know, we can look back on that and learn from that. We say, okay, we tried something different, it didn't work, and maybe they can do something different with the race format. I before, I was really not a fan of changing up the format, but, you know, now with all this disruption and all this chaos, it might be a good time to experiment with that.
Yeah, and one idea that just came into my mind, if the year is really coming to an end and there is no way to fit many more races into the year, there could also be the possibility maybe to have two races at one circuit. I mean, some of the junior series do it like that, like Formula 2 has two races at one track. I think Formula 3, they do have three races, don't they, sometimes? So that could also be an option for them to use one track for multiple GPs if it's getting really critical.
I also seen suggestions that they could do something like what the World Endurance Championship does, and have effectively a super season. So it would be like the 2020, we'd still have one season, but it would be the 2020-2021 season, which, you know, isn't a terrible idea either. I mean, that way we'd potentially get all races on the calendar. It would just be, and it would space them out more, and then you could return as normal for 2022. You know, that.
So you mean basically you start the season in whatever, June, July, whatever, and then have 1.5 years for two seasons.
Something like that. I mean, yeah, maybe start the season in July, and you'd have a month break around. A month and a bit break around Christmas time, and then come back and then finish up. But it would still be painful, because there still would be a big gap before the 2022 season. But, you know, there's nothing simple about what the current situation, and there are going to be huge ramifications of this. So it's I don't know, it's going to be so intriguing to see what they come out with. But I mean, I think the only solutions are that kind of super season, or a really condensed and shortened season of, I think, like 8 races need to be held to be part of a world championship, and they need to be held across 3 different continents as well, I think. So yeah, either that or no season altogether, and we just come back in 2021 and go from there. And effectively have no 2020 champion, no 2020 winners. I think they're the only foreseeable possibilities. But I mean, I don't want to take a guess at which one's the most likely solution, because the situation is evolving so quickly. It's just impossible to figure out what could happen in the coming months.
And as you touched on earlier, these postponements do have an effect on all the Formula One teams, also in terms of a financial hit, and that's also one of the reasons, I guess, why Formula One, Liberty Media decided to, and the FIA decided to also postpone the introduction of the 2021 regulations with a whole new car design into 2022, so that teams can use, and there will be no regulation change for 2021, so that teams do not have to develop a completely new car during this season now, where they might have some or less prize money, less money from Grand Prix to actually invest into that new car, right?
Yeah, it's I think a overall good move. It's going to be, again, a very, very interesting situation because, I mean, on the one side, the positive is that going into the year, because, of course, the 2021 sporting, the financial regulations are not changing. So the financial cap of $175 million for all teams will still be introduced next year. So on that side, it's good, I guess, that they'll be heading into the season on a level playing field, but at the same time, the regulations have been introduced 2.5 years in advance now, and teams will have a lot more time to work on the car and work on the regulations. So,
could be good. Maybe then they are closer together.
Yeah, maybe. Very, very hard to tell, but I'm pretty pleased that the budget cap is being introduced before the. Before the technical regulations, because that does make a bit more level playing field. But again, it's such an early on in this process, it's hard to see exactly what sort of ramifications this could have, but it's all basically at cost measures, and for next year the teams will use the 2020 chassis, and there could be freezing of other elements of the car as well. To save costs, because of course teams are going to be losing, and the companies are going to be losing money, while no races are being held. So, it's all done for the benefit of the team, and teams that are struggling or have struggled financially, that don't have as much money, like Williams or Haas, for example, they're the ones that are really in danger of. Potentially collapsing because of this whole situation. So any measures to help keep them on the grid is great, because I think it would be very, very bad for F1 and very depressing if the grid dropped below 20 cars. I think 20 cars is like the minimum that F1 should have on the grid. I'd like to see anywhere between 20 and 26 cars in the F1 field. It's all done in the interest of the team, so nice to see that F1 and the FAA is taking steps to ensure that the teams are at least more protected than they would be if they had done nothing. So
yeah, and with the combination of having a budget cap and more time to actually have a look into the regulations and develop the car, at least from what I would expect, teams are actually closer together, as it's not like the big teams can throw a huge amount of resources onto the project within a year and a half and come out with something great. But now we do have more time and also kind of more of a equal amount of spending going on, so that could actually help. But we'll know more in about how long is it? Yeah, 2 years, I guess, when the new cars are on track. So yeah, a lot of things happening, a lot of things postponed, but there are also new things. Generally, if you look at the virus, there are many negative aspects, and generally for everyone, basically everyone experiences some kind of matters, but there's also, or there's always, a positive side on something, or some chances you can use. Well, currently maybe for businesses is that they are forced to introduce some more digital communication, and maybe they are forced to implement some kind of home office solution where the workers can work from home. And this also is the case maybe for Formula One, as they now actually announce an esports series with official drivers. And maybe that's also something that we wouldn't have seen without that postponement. And So, yeah, in the time where we have no real GPs, there will be virtual Grand Prix, and I think there are no, or they haven't announced which drivers will actually take part in those Grand Prix, but you would get, if you had a guess, I guess you would say that Lando Norris is one candidate that definitely would join such an event. Max Verstappen also does a lot of sim racing. We've seen in other non-official sim racing events that Esteban Gutierrez has a sim rig at home, Stoffel Van Dorn maybe, previous F1 drivers of course. Yeah, will be interesting to see who will actually start in those virtual Grand Prix.
Yeah,
right?
I think the only confirmed driver so far is Nicholas Latifi, yeah, I guess is still awaiting his F1 debut. Must be pretty tough for him after, you know, getting this far, only to be hit with the situation. So yeah, I think Mercedes has said that they will take part in some form. I'm not sure to what extent that would be. I mean, it would be pretty, I mean, it would be really, really cool to have Lewis, I think, race in this. I mean, really, really cool. But
I guess it will be their esports driver or something from
the esports
championship.
But, I mean, I think they'll be working to get as many F1 drivers as possible to doing it.
I mean, I know that Kimi Raikkonen has also sim racing rig at home.
I think the F1 community would go into a meltdown if Kimi did it. but yeah, it's not how we expected we'd be watching Formula One or how it'd be the closest form of F1 we'd be watching this year. But it's nice to see that, you know, there's something being done about it, and that there still is a way that drivers are providing entertainment, racing entertainment for fans, and probably for themselves as well, I guess. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know if you watched the Australian Grand Prix last weekend.
Yeah, I did. I watched the highlights.
I watched it from, you know, the whole stream, and I gotta be honest, I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I ever did, or as much as I did, because, I mean, I've watched plenty of streams of racing before. You know, sometimes I just watch people on iRacing streaming and stuff like that. But, you know, this one, it was, I don't know, it felt cool. And, I mean, there were so many people watching it as well. I mean, at the time, Lando Norris on Twitch, like the number one streaming platform, had the most viewed live stream across the whole platform of Twitch, which is unbelievable for Formula One
that.
And for sim racing. Well, I mean, that race is on F1 2019, so I'm not sure if you'd call that sim racing, but you know what I mean. But it's still a really, really amazing initiative. And I think with F1 promoting these races and the FIA promoting these races that we're going to have, you know, it'll only get even bigger. And I think on the weekends that there is no F1, that there was no like Grand Prix set to be held, there will still be other races, and I think fans will be able to come on and race against actual F1 drivers on the game, which is cool. Which leads me to think, I wonder if they'll race like how most people on online lobbies race on F1 2019. But, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's cool that things are being done, and we still have something to go by while we're waiting for all this to blow over.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Is the first race actually in a few days instead of the Bahrain GP?
Yeah, so the first one is this Sunday, as Sunday the 22nd. As I think it's like 7 or 8 p.m. Central European time. I don't know officially. Yeah, sorry. 9 p.m. Central European time. So, yeah, I mean, it's something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that many real drivers join it. I mean, I know of a few drivers where I've seen them race with other drivers that they do have some sim racing rigs at home. Like, as I said, Verstappen, Albon, Leclerc, I think, has something at home. Giovinazzi does. So yeah, it would be cool to have as many real drivers as possible joining it. However, we will not review these virtual Grand Prix, so it's also a bit of a change for us, as well, you do not expect to have many breaking news during this kind of lockdown of public life in general. So we will change up our schedule a bit. So from our weekly schedule, we will change it to a two-week schedule, so we'll only release an episode every 2 weeks. But if there is some kind of breaking news, if there is something we need to talk about and we want to inform you, we'll definitely put one episode out. But as I said, as there are probably not that many breaking news expected in the next couple of weeks, we will basically change up our schedule as well. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that virtual GP on Sunday, and yeah, see you, or we'll be back, not next week but in 2 weeks. So until then, goodbye.